All right, well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone again. We are continuing our study on prayer. And as the title says, this is a practical study. This is meant to be a practical study. That means this study is not intended to be just an exercise to gather facts or gain more knowledge about prayer. And the goal of this study is to lead us to increase our practice of prayer. So for some, this may be their first steps in prayer. I'm aware we have younger people in our audience. For others, this study may help develop or perhaps restore a life of prayer. And for many, I hope so, it will confirm practice, a constant practice of prayer. So as I shared last week, my personal reason for taking on this study is because I recognize that prayer is an area that needs growth and restoration in my own life. One glaring need in my life of prayer is to pray more often and with more persistence. So this is what we learned about last week. We saw a few examples to remind us of the importance of praying without ceasing. So we read a few passages last week. This is just a short review. We read 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a very easy verse to memorize, pray without ceasing. And we talked about how these words without ceasing were used in the original language for a hacking cough. So we learned that prayer should be like a hacking cough that is repeated until the throat clears. Or in the case of prayer, we should continue to pray until God answers according to his will. We looked at examples of praying without ceasing from the parables of the unjust judge and the widow, and the parable of the entreating neighbor who asked his friend for bread at a very inconvenient time. So in this last parable, the friend gives bread to his friend to entertain his guest at a late and inconvenient hour, not so much because he is a friend, but because the friend's entreating and the inconvenient time when he comes to ask. And in the other parable, the callous and corrupt judge dispenses justice in favor of the widow because of her constant insistence. So we know God is not like the friend who is inconvenienced or like the callous judge who does not care. God here is welcome us to entreat him to come at a time when we may think it's inconvenient and to insist like the widow when we pray. Because after all, God cannot be inconvenienced and God does care. So we also learn from these parables that our main need is spiritual, but God cares for our common needs. Finally, we looked at the prayer life of Daniel and we learned of his habit of praying without ceasing, how he prayed three times a day, even though Daniel was a really busy man. He prayed three times a day for the restoration of Israel. And we learned that for Daniel, praying was more important than even staying alive. When he had the threat bending upon his head of being thrown into the lion's den, Daniel decided to continue praying. So last week on week one, we learned about the importance of prayer and to pray without ceasing. And today on week two, we are going to learn about a key attitude for prayer. And this key attitude is to be open. So as I said in the beginning, one of the glaring needs I have on my prayer life is to be more insistent and frequent in prayer. But another need that I have is to make sure I have an open attitude when I pray. So you may ask, where does this idea of openness come from? And what does it mean? And why is it so important? We are going to answer all these questions a little bit later on, but first I want to share a personal story related to this concept of open prayer. So last week I shared of a time when I prayed, when that wing nut got stuck inside my oil pan and God answered immediately. But you know, sometimes God answers to certain prayers doesn't come right away. For example, when I prayed for a wife when I was younger, Lola didn't appear, poof, and then I was married, right? This is actually a story that took a little bit longer time praying. And this is a story that takes place in Mexico. And just for reference, this is a map of Mexico right there. And that right there in the arrow is the area where I grew up. And here, this is a picture of me growing up. This picture was taken some years ago and also some kilograms ago. And like many young men, I was trying to look good. And like many young men during my college years, I was wondering if one day I would marry. So, you know, marriage was a very difficult question. I remember I had many thoughts of love that I really don't want to share right now. I had a lot of anxiety, confusion, more super complicated thoughts, fear, and many concerns at the time that I was really keeping private to myself. I didn't really trust anybody to hear me about these things. So my struggle really was, could I be open about these things with God? And would I be open to his will on this area? One of my fears, of course, was what if God's will is different than what I wanted in terms of marriage? So I began this process of seeking a spouse while I was in college. And later I learned that at the time I started praying, that it was still really too early for me to think about getting married. I was just not ready. But remember, even though I was not ready, I still had a great deal of anxiety about marriage with all these thoughts and feelings bottled up in my brain. Then one day, I remember attending a Bible study on Psalms. And really, this study had nothing to do with marriage. In this study, the man who was preaching observed how David was open to pray and to embrace God's will. So that day, even though I did not know it, God began to answer my prayers about marriage. That day, God put in my heart to trust him, to be open with my prayers, and to be open to embrace his will in this area. So I began to pour out my heart in prayer for a wife. So after praying openly about all my complicated thoughts and being open to embrace God's will, everything began to change, starting with my perspective. I learned, first of all, that I could trust God with anything. And in this process, God also led me to repent of false ideas I had about marriage and how to find a wife. For example, I learned that God's will was for me to delight in him. And in his time, he will bring a wife to my life if this is what he wanted for me. And just like God did for Adam in the Garden of Eden, Adam delighted in God, and it was really God's idea to bring Eve into his life. So I stopped worrying so much, and every time I did worry, I kept on praying openly and learning to be open to embrace God's will. So finally, the Lord brought Lola to my life, and that's a story for another day. This is a picture of the time where I met Lola and where we went to college, and this is where I guess everything started, where God answered this prayer. So, you know, this is a great story on how God answered my prayers for a wife, and these are two pictures of me and Lola. When we were courting, they were taken at different times and different days. And as you can see, I really like that shirt. I was wearing the same shirt on both pictures. So what would have happened if I had chosen not to be honest and open with the Lord in prayer? Or if I would not be open to his will? What if I just chose not to repent and just hold on to those false ideas that I had about finding a spouse and about marriage? Or what if I did not pray so much and took this in my own hands? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. I probably would not be married to Lola, and our relationship, even if it would have had started, it would have been very short-lived. As it turns out, there are millions of events that God put together for Lola and I to be together. So Lola really is God's answer to my prayers. Just as a side note, before we move on to the next slide, I thought that once God answered my prayer for a wife, that this process of being open in prayer and open to embrace God's will would be over as far as marriage was concerned. But it turns out that this process of being open to God about my marriage was really just getting started. Even today, I find it critical to pray openly to God about my marriage and to be open to follow his will. So let's go back to our questions. Where does this idea of being open in prayer really come from? Well, the attitude of being open in prayer comes from the greater truth of the need to have faith in God when we pray. Praying with faith is essential. I want to invite everyone to find these verses in your Bible with me. We do have several verses today. Try to keep up with your Bibles, or otherwise, if you can't keep up, just listen carefully to each verse because that's what's most important. So let's start with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." When God is sought diligently, he is found. And the principle of seeking God is truly faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Praying with faith also means to trust that God is omnipotent. Let's look at a verse on Mark chapter 10 and verse 27. It says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. So when we pray with faith, it also means that we need to trust that God is omnipotent. Praying with faith also means to trust God cares and will do what is best. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. I really like those three words together. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, we may care for the things we pray about, and we may think that we know what is best, but when God answers our prayers, he surpasses abundantly above all that we ask or think, because he cares for us and because he knows what is best. Praying with faith also means to trust that God is sovereign and in control of all things. If you turn your Bibles to Job chapter 38, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I just want to make one point from here. You know, after Job was finished questioning God for everything that had happened to him, and his friends had aimlessly tried to explain why God did what he did, God does respond to Job. And I'm only reading an excerpt or a few verses from this chapter. I'm reading verses 1 through 5. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. God is in control of all things. And I really like this picture. It's like God is sitting in a desk there as a pupil, and he's telling to Job, okay, Job, I will be your pupil, and you will tell me how to be a sovereign God in control of all these things, since you have the nerve to question me. God is showing Job that in spite of his tragedy, he was always in control. Even from the beginning of creation, God has never lost control of a single thing. So praying with faith means all these things, and it also means that we should approach God openly and to be open to his will. And this is the point that I would like to elaborate upon, because praying with faith means that we should be able to trust in God and approach him openly, because we only open ourselves to someone when we really trust that person. And that is what God wants from us. So what does it mean to be open? And just as a very simple place to get started, let's look at Psalms chapter 62, verses 5-8. To be open means to pour your heart before the Lord. It says, Psalm 62, verses 5-8. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Notice how many times David says here, in God, in God, in God, in God is everything. Trust in him at all times, you people. And notice what it says right here. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Pour out your heart before him. Imagine your heart like a pitcher that is poured out before the Lord. You are not holding anything in. You let it flow freely, and you keep pouring until your heart is depleted and all your concerns are in God's hands. All your pitcher is empty, and God has taken care of everything for you. So to be open means to pour your heart before the Lord. To be open means to cast your burdens upon Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's focus on the commandment of this verse. Come to me. Christ is telling us, you are labored and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Do you have problems at work? Come to me. Are you struggling with your health? Come to me. Are you struggling with your marriage or your kids? Christ is telling us, come to me. Come to me implies to come to him openly. And Christ says, I will give you rest. Bring things to me. Come to me. Come to me openly, and I will give you rest. So to be open means to cast your burdens upon Christ. To be open also means to enter boldly into God's presence. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come boldly because we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, because he has experienced firsthand all the frailties of being a human. The author of Hebrews tells us here that when we approach him boldly, we obtain help in the form of grace. So whatever the struggle, the grace of God will arrive to meet the need of the moment. God invites us to come to him boldly, to come to him openly, because we have a high priest who can sympathize with us. To be open also means to humble ourselves before the Lord, because God cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Notice these verses include both sides of being open, actually in the right sequence. First, it says, humble yourselves. This means to submit to God with humility, to trust with him, to trust in him. This means to be open to embrace his will in a humble way, to accept what his will may be. Now notice the second part of being open, casting all your cares upon him. Be open about your cares before the Lord. Cast all your cares upon him. This means that you can be open about anything that's going on with your life and about all your cares. And the reason, and God gives us the reason for this here, says the reason is very, very important here. It says, because he cares for you. Humble yourself, submit to the Lord, cast your cares upon him, be open because he cares for you, be open to embrace his will, and be open to pray to him because he cares for you. So this is what it means to be open. So let's move on to the next slide. And let's look at some examples of openness. Let's start with Psalm 34, and if you have your Bibles, turn it to Psalm 34. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. And let's start with the superscription, with that little phrase that is written on top of the, at the very top of the chapter. It says, a Psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. So the occasion here was a time when David came to Gath seeking refuge as he was fleeing Saul. So Abimelech, the king of Gath from the Philistines, was warned that David was a Philistine slayer, but this happened after David had arrived. They told Abimelech, you know, David has killed a lot of Philistines. This is the man to whom they sing about, David killed his 10,000s. So David here in this occasion really stumbled in a couple of ways. This was a period of start with verse 4. Let's see what David has to tell us about this experience or what he did here. It says on verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Notice the openness of David in the midst of this overwhelming problem. Even after making the wrong decisions based on fear, even after messing up, David decides to bring his fears openly to God, and God delivers him. It was his fears in the first place that had driven him to to seek shelter with Abimelech, but then David realizes he is not the one who should be taking care of my fears. God is going to take care of my fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me of all my fears. So David wants us to learn that God answers and delivers, and he gives several examples actually in this psalm to encourage us to seek the Lord openly. Let's look at verses 5 through 10. Let's begin with verse 5. It says, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. So those who seek the Lord, they receive light from him, and they absorb this light. They become radiant. They are never turned back with shame. When you seek the Lord is promising here that he will give you the light that you need. You will be radiant, and you will not be turned back with shame. Then on verses 6 and 7, he gives us another example here. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The poor man cries to the Lord. He cries, this cry implies that he's being open before the Lord. Then the Lord hears, and most importantly, the Lord saved him from all his troubles. Notice on verse 7 that the Lord does not arrive there to deliver this poor man. It is not like God responds to 911 calls. He is already protecting the camp of those who fear him. He's encamping around those who fear him. He's already there, ready to help. Look at verse 8. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So David is inviting us to taste and see that God is good. He's inviting us to trust him openly, because those who trust in him experience that God is good. Verses 9 and 10, it says, oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. You know, young lions rely on their strength when they seek for their prey, and oftentimes they go hungry. But David is telling us here that this is not the case of those who seek the Lord, who don't depend on their own strength, but in God's strength. Those who fear the Lord and seek the Lord, it says right here, shall not lack any good thing. Those who seek the Lord openly shall not lack any good thing. In verses 11 through 14, we see the other side of David being open, not so much open in praying to the Lord, but in being open to listen to him, receive his will, and obey him. These are the lessons he learned as part of his answered prayer. David had to be open and let God work in his heart and in his behavior after this experience. So David actually has some lessons for us from this experience that he had. It says, verses 11 through 14, it says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. After this experience of fleeing to the king of the Philistines and pretending madness before him, he learned that he had been taking things in his own hands. And what he really had to do is to learn to depart from evil and to do good. So David learned to be open to receive God's will. Finally, let's look at David's openness now in thankfulness and worship for God answering his prayers, verses 1 and 2. This is how the psalm actually begins. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times, in good times and in bad times, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My mouth shall make its boast in the Lord, not in my own strength, in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Let's look at another example in Psalm 32. This is after David confessed a sin. It says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turning to the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Notice that David did not find relief after he had sinned until he openly confessed his sin to the Lord. Being open to the Lord also means to openly confess our sins to him. Let's look at two more examples. Let's look at the example of Hannah in the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. So we're not going to read the whole chapter, but here Hannah is praying in grief because she is barren and she cannot have kids, and she's being taunted by the other woman who's married also to her husband, and she cannot have any kids, and she's really bitter here. She's really struggling with this issue of not having babies, and this happened before she had Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verses 12 through 16, it says, "And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth." Now notice what it says on verse 13. "Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink.'" Notice what it says right here. "But have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now." Hannah poured his soul before the Lord to the extent that she appeared to be drunk. She was humble and open before the Lord. And we know what happened after that. We know that Samuel was given to her as her firstborn, and then she had other children too. Psalm 6, we are not going to make any comments on this psalm. I just want to read this psalm. What I want you to pay close attention to the openness of David to pray and his subsequent openness also to understand God's will. Psalm 6, it says, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly." Look at the openness of David in this psalm. Look at the way in which he describes his feelings before the Lord. David is open in his prayer. So these are just a few examples in the Bible of open prayers or of being open in prayer. There are a lot more, and I want you to encourage to find more in scripture. We don't have time to look at more today, but I just wanted you to look at those. So just to conclude our study, I'd like to answer that last question. Why is it important to be open when we pray? Why is it important both to be open in the way we pray to God and also open to embrace God's will in whatever he may answer? First of all, prayer with openness is the beginning of restoration, or you can say it's also the beginning of revival. That and reading scripture, that and understanding God's will through scripture, that is the beginning of restoration and revival. You know, this was the reason why Daniel prayed without ceasing. He prayed three times a day for the restoration of Israel. And these prayers were actually the preface of Israel's return eventually into the promised land, into their own land. So prayer with openness is the beginning of restoration. Prayer with openness is necessary to grow in our relationship with God. Notice in David's Psalms, he grew and learned such valuable lessons just as a result of his open prayers. In all these prayers that are recorded as songs in scripture from David, there are so many valuable lessons that he learns just because he was open in his prayers, because he was honest before the Lord, because he poured his heart to him. Prayer with openness make pray without ceasing sustainable. We have that commanded that we learned about last week, pray without ceasing. And the only way that can be sustainable is when we are open in our prayer life. The only way we can pray without ceasing is when we're open. When we are no longer open and we start holding back from the Lord, what normally happens to me is we also start discontinuing our prayers. We start having vain repetitions. We don't really want to share more with the Lord. There's certain things, certain areas we don't want the Lord to work on us when we're praying, and we stop being open to Him, and that's when the work stops. That's where the prayer stops. Praying with openness leads to embracing God's will. Think about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. That is a beautiful example of openness in prayer. He prayed very openly to the Lord, and he said, God, if it is possible for this cup to pass over me, let it be, but let your will be done and not mine. So after praying himself and asking his disciples to pray and watch with him, what happened? Christ was ready to embrace God's will and go to the cross. And the only reason, the only way God, the way he was out of this, he was able to get out of this crisis was by prayer. By prayer, his demeanor changes from one time at first being really anxious about going to the cross to turning around after praying and being ready to take on God's will and take on the cross for our sins. So just as a conclusion, God reveals his will to us when we are open in prayer and open to embrace his will. And as I said at the beginning, it really is my prayer that this study will encourage you to establish or to develop or to restore or continue a practice of unceasing and open prayer. With that, let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the open access we have into your presence to pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can approach you with boldness. Thank you, Lord, that we can pour our hearts before you. Help us, Lord, to practice prayer constantly, insistently, even when we think it may be inconvenient. Help us, Lord, to pray without ceasing and pray openly before you. Pray that everybody in our assembly will be blessed by this, will be blessed by this access we have to your presence, and we'll pray openly, Lord, for our growth, for our spiritual development, for your will to be shown in our lives. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.